Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back.
Here we go again.
Finally, after a two-week hiatus.
Right. We weren't here last week.
I know. It was so...
Because of the weather.
It was so stormy here.
But we did the right thing.
I think so, because the
other places...
Our internet was very choppy, and what was really concerning is that the weather was pretty bad again today. Like,
From last Wednesday to this Wednesday,
right. No rain,
right.
Nothing.
Right.
And then this Wednesday, it storms again. So
it must be time for a podcast because we had bad weather today.
That's right. That's how we know when it's time for a podcast.
All right.
So, but today, today
we're
going to talk about something today. We're going to talk about our favorite show. Or your favorite show.
My favorite show.
Some people's favorite show.
Right.
But we're going to talk about tape four. And tape four is a really... We're starting to see some shifts with things in these episodes.
That was something that struck me as I watched number four. Everybody really changes in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought they did.
Yeah.
The main characters really begin to make some significant changes here.
Right. So we'll begin kind of talking about tape four. And let me get this slide up here so that folks can see it. And we'll go from there. And so, all right.
There it is.
So with tape four, this first side of tape four is all about Zach. Now,
Zach,
I have to pause and take a breath because
why?
I feel bad for Zach. I'm going to say it right off to the beginning that I feel bad for Zach.
By the time you're finished with this side,
or
this tape, you feel bad for Zach.
Yeah.
But at first, I didn't know what to make of him. You know, he's this good-looking basketball star.
You know, and they kind of
hangs out with the bad guy, with the alpha males.
Of all the characters, I think that one of the things that troubles me a little bit is some of the inconsistency with Zach. Because there are times when they present Zach as this capable, bright, you know, he as we're going to go through some things that he said yeah. over these couple of episodes, made some very insightful statements,
insightful.
I think.
Right.
But then
right.
at the same time, he makes some really, really not bright statements.
Right.
Some things that he says that it's just like, okay, what? Where does that come from? How can you not get that?
Right.
They're a little bit inconsistent with him as a character, but this side is all about him. And if we remember, just to recap a little bit, side B of tape three ended with Hannah being sort of rejected and being left in the diner.
She was left in the diner. That's right.
Right.
She was left, and it was Zach.
It was Zach that came and sat down across from
her. But he was with those four guys.
Right. He was with them.
So it was a little bit, you waited for something bad to happen with Zach.
Right.
Because he was with those guys, and then he came back in, and you didn't know what his real motive was.
Right.
What his agenda was. And I kept, through these episodes, I kept waiting for Zach to do something despicable.
Right.
But I don't think he ever does.
Right. Yeah, you know, Marcus, she was there to meet Marcus, and Marcus comes late, and that was part of his play. You know, they made that whole, the big deal about it. And so he comes in late, and then all of that happened, and he leaves, and Zach goes and sits, and you did find yourself wondering what that was all about.
Right.
But what I really like about this show is that each episode begins with sort of a monologue from Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
And the monologue for Hannah in this episode was all about loneliness.
Right.
And I think that, in many ways it was beautiful. It was just some of the things that she was saying are things that we a lot of us have felt.
Right.
And one of the quotes that she said was, there's all kinds of ways
to feel lonely. And another one was, when you're that kind of lonely, you'll reach for anything, no matter how silly it seems.
Right.
And I think that, well, I want us to spend a little bit of time talking about loneliness.
Right.
Because loneliness is something that a lot of teenagers complain about.
Right.
Loneliness is something that a lot of adults complain about.
Right. Yeah, adults and teens.
And of course, we're talking about teenagers with this program and, you know, throughout this this podcast series, I guess. Mm-hmm. But the real thing here is that a lot of parents will sort of dismiss feelings of loneliness. They will say, you don't feel lonely. You've got your friends here. Right. You know, we're here. Your siblings are here. Mm-hmm. And I think that Hannah's message at the beginning, and that little monologue-ish type of beginning to this episode about the different types of loneliness is really insightful.
Right. I like that. Yeah. I like this. I like this monologue.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's being alone and lonely, feeling lonely.
Right.
And those are two very different things.
Yeah.
Sometimes we all want to be alone, but none of us want to feel lonely.
Right.
Okay. And Hannah was feeling lonely at this point in the story. Obviously, she has been either rejected, marginalized, abused by virtually everybody. And so she is really beginning to feel lonely now. And what you see is this, she feels lonely in this, you know how it's going to end. So she feels lonely in this episode, and you get the feeling that from now on, it's just going to compound. The loneliness will compound.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And in that class, they had a class where they had to put those messages in the bags, and wasn't it that teacher who talked about humans being social creatures,
right?
You know,
right.
So again, it's sort of in this context that you see Hannah being lonely while everybody else is trying to build a sense of community.
Well, and if we sometimes I like to play psychologist and think while she's talking about that,
the state of Florida allows you to.
While she talks about that, and we see her her experience of loneliness, I think that one of the messages that we could also get from this is that there are probably a lot of those other students there who act as though everything is wonderful and fine, but there's a lot of those students who feel lonely also.
That's what I kept thinking. As I was watching the show, I was thinking, well, there are a lot of other students. Mm-hmm. The camera guy. Ryan? No.
Tyler.
He was lonely.
Yeah.
You know, when he went in to talk to the counselor, I think he was one who was struggling with loneliness.
Yeah.
There were probably many other students who were struggling with loneliness.
Yeah.
Those are the feelings that you start to get, that Hannah, you're not the only one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, so when we think about the different types of loneliness, I think that there's the obvious lonely, where you're in isolation, there's nobody else around. And, you know, the American Psychological Association and a lot of other professional organizations have come out and talked about issues related to things like solitary confinement.
That's right.
And those kinds of things in opposition to those things.
And what it does, that's right.
The tremendous psychological damage that social isolation can cause a person.
That's right. You can actually drive a person to become mentally ill.
Right.
Keeping them, and we're one of the many nations are doing away with solitary confinement for that reason.
Yeah.
It's a horrible existence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So while that's the sort of the obvious type of loneliness that we think about, the other kind is really not like what Hannah feels, that lack of true connection with other people.
That's right.
And I think what makes Hannah's worse is that she would have a connection, and a connection that she felt or she thought would be strong.
Right.
And then it was ripped apart.
She'd have it.
And then she'd have another one.
Have it.
And then it was ripped apart.
Right.
So hers is a sort of intermittent.
It's a recurring, recurring loneliness.
Right.
You know, and a wound that keeps opening.
It's a trauma.
She keeps getting wounded. And I think that's part of the problem here is I think the trauma that she suffered is as significant as anything else because she kept getting hurt. No matter what this child does, she keeps getting hurt by these. Not everybody intended to hurt her.
Right.
Some were self-serving, yes, But most were just thoughtless. It was mindless stuff. Mm-hmm. But each time she got hurt, so she has this recurring pain.
Yeah,
you know, keeps occurring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if we just focus on the other two, the other main person in this episode, right. That's Zach.
Yeah.
His loneliness is yet a different kind of loneliness as well.
He was playing a role.
Yes.
Because he was with those other athletes, so he had to. To fit in, he had to play that role.
Mm-hmm.
But underneath it all, he was also a bit of a, not a, perhaps a tortured soul, mm-hmm. but at least a little confusion. There was obviously more than one side to Zach.
Right.
And I think he had trouble being on the razor's edge all the time, that he wasn't sure which world he wanted mm-hmm. to be in.
Right.
And then he had that mother.
And we got a bit of an indication about where some of that loneliness may lie, because we met his mom.
And his mom was controlling.
An extremely controlling person.
And he wasn't allowed to make any decisions. And he wasn't allowed to be anything but perfect.
Yeah.
So yes, his was probably a lonely existence as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had the advantage of being a good-looking star athlete.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Other than that, he was in many ways a little bit like Hannah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's why I started out saying that I felt bad for him. Because I think that of everyone that we've met so far,
mm-hmm.
he was authentically trying to be nice to her, to be kind.
Right.
He made a stupid statement. He made a stupid comment.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that...
Right.
There's worse sense than that.
Exactly. Yeah. That should have been forgiven.
Right. Yeah. So, so since he was... My water bottle's trying to roll away from me.
Water is
If he was trying to be kind and mm-hmm. to make a connection with Hannah, because maybe he felt bad about what he witnessed and what mm-hmm. he saw happening with her,
right.
When he was rejected in that way from Hannah,
right? When she turned it on him,
right? That's probably one of the few times that he has felt rejected like that.
Yeah, he was a little bit nonplussed by that.
Right. Mm-hmm. But second, you know, there was probably, again, some authentically hurt feelings there, mm-hmm. because
he was
trying to help. He cared. It mattered to him. And he was shut down that way.
And then he began to back away a little bit.
Right.
Which was exactly from Hannah's point of view, the wrong thing to do.
Right.
Because had he approached her one or two more times, she may have relented and let him into her life.
Right.
But he was afraid of being hurt.
Right.
So he stepped back.
Right.
To protect himself.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll talk in just a couple of minutes about the note. Because I'm confused about that.
That note.
We'll get to that in just a second. But let's go back to the slides and see our next little quote here. As we're progressing through the episode, Clay's parents are talking, mm-hmm. and Clay's mom is talking about wanting to get him back in therapy, mm-hmm. back in talk therapy. And Clay's dad says, "Not everyone shares your passionate belief that all problems can be solved with words." Now, this guy, obviously, he's a literature major.
He's an English professor. Of course he can.
But the thing that I think is really important about that entire scene
mm-hmm.
is that once again we have this balance between the two of them.
Between mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. Mom wants to be the attorney.
Right.
And jump and react and say this is what's going to happen and find solutions. Dad is balancing out the situation very mm-hmm. very nicely and making sure that she's not being controlling, not being Zach's mom.
Oh.
He's making sure that she's not being too controlling, that she's not being too overwhelming, and that she's thinking about Clay's perspective a little bit.
And you can see the beginnings of mom starting to worry a little bit more than dad is. Okay. Mm-hmm. You see Clay starting to sort of descend into this darker place. And you can see mom being a little more concerned than dad is
right.
about where he's headed and what he's going to do when he gets there.
Yeah, and if we jump to the the bullet point just before the last one, dad's adolescence.
Yeah.
What we see there is that dad Dad started talking to Clay about his adolescence, and we start to see why maybe Dad is a little bit more. I wouldn't say he's relaxed. I would say that he's not overreacting, and he's giving Clay space so that Clay can figure out what's going on.
Right.
And I think that that's really, wow, that is so important.
That was a good scene.
Yeah,
I like.
Because dad, you know, dad talks to him about, you know, hey, I was picked on.
Right.
And I love it. He says something like, you know, and look at me.
Right.
I'm the epitome of a man.
But he really didn't moralize. He just said, this was my story. And
right.
It worked out. He didn't sort of keep going after it and after it and moralizing and teaching and preaching. He just sort of laid it out for his son to say, oh, okay, well, maybe there is hope.
Right. And
although... It struck me as I was watching it that Dad doesn't really fully appreciate how insidious and dangerous it is today compared to when he was growing up. This is another level of bullying or antisocial behavior, and you know, Dad's talking about the way it was a generation ago. This is worse.
It's always. It's nice to hear Dad's sentiments, and I really appreciated the fact that Dad is not, you know, he's not Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
That's right.
You know, that says, you know, hey, I was picked on when I was in school, and look at me now.
Right.
He was like, hey, you know, I was picked on, and you know what? I have a loving family, and I love what I do for a living, and I have a happy life, and.
Right.
You know, what more do you want? But
and I think it made Dad human to his son.
Right.
You know, it didn't, you know, again, with no agenda, with no lesson, it was just, hey, this is where, and Clay sort of looked at him like, oh, my dad's human after all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where he saw his dad as a struggling human rather than somebody who was born perfect.
Right.
You know,
right.
He didn't always have a PhD in English literature.
Right, you know? Right, absolutely. So. Yeah, that was a great part.
Good scene.
And then we have this where it really comes to play with Hannah. And remember, they were doing the compliments. It was in that what you were talking about
the
a minute
bags.
Ago, the bags.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And everybody is putting the things in the bags. And you know, we see Hannah throughout much of the episode getting little bunny rabbit drawings from Clay.
And those are Clay. Yeah. Did she know that?
I think she had a sense it was from Clay. But I can't wait till we get to Clay's episode. But anyways, but then she finds out, of course, that Zach is taking them, and she says, you know, seriously, it's Zach. Mm-hmm. Does he really need compliments?
Right.
And we kind of started out this podcast talking a little bit about Hannah's. How it feels as though Hannah began to turn and be more rejecting and more pushing away of others, and here we really start to see that manifest because of all the characters in the program so far, I think that we would expect Hannah to appreciate the fact that other people feel ways that you don't know, that they're experiencing things in life that you don't completely understand.
I think that is the Achilles heel of this whole program.
Yeah.
Is that the person who was suffering doesn't see suffering in others.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And because she doesn't see it in Clay, and she doesn't see it in Zach.
No.
And we'll see it. She didn't see it in Tyler.
She didn't see it in Sky.
She didn't see it in... Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we see this happen with Hannah. We see her make these comments. And it's... Again, it struck me as, man, I, but it's probably true because when we are stuck, and this is, you know, just another thing that happens with mood disorders like depression and thing, when we are experiencing those emotions, those significant negative feelings, our ability to have insight into the feelings of others is blunted.
Yeah, it's diminished.
We have a really difficult time understanding and appreciating how other people may feel because we start losing perspective.
Right.
We think that, well, I'm bad. Everything about me is negative. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is great. You right. know, because you have to sort of sustain that level of depression. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have to make ourselves very, very different from everyone else.
Right.
So, you know, my experience is we have these other people who were mean to me. So Zach talking to me, he must be acting mean to me. He must want to abuse me like the others have.
Right. And this is a story about suicide. And one of the things that struck me as I was watching this episode is when she began to turn on others.
Right.
She began to develop some aggressive behavior. And aggression is either turned toward others,
right,
or it's turned inward. Now, at this point, Hannah is turning all of her, she's beginning mm-hmm. to externalize her aggression. Eventually, later, she will internalize
right.
it, okay?
Right.
And I think if parents are watching this and you want to talk about it with your children, one of the things you can talk about is aggression. It's either right. turned outward against others, you mm-hmm. become physically aggressive toward others, mm-hmm. you hurt other people, or you turn it on yourself.
Right.
And I think what you have to watch out for is, how is your child expressing aggression, or
right.
how is anybody expressing aggression? The other thing is the loss of empathy mm-hmm. or the lack of empathy
right.
that Hannah is showing at this point, because mm-hmm. She's not seeing that other people also are hurting.
Right.
And one of the things we want to do is we want to give our children, and especially adolescents, we want to help them develop empathy
right.
so that they do see things that you're not. Yes, you're. I accept it. You're suffering, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but so are a lot of other people.
Right.
You know, and you need to understand that other people are suffering too, and they need you as much as you need them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Absolutely. But not to de-emphasize the significant difficulty you have when mm-hmm. your mood is down like that, when you're so depressed and
right.
You're struggling like
that's
that.
Right. That's right. She may have
yeah.
lost it.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know whether she never had it or whether she lost it
right.
because as she's descending into depression,
yeah.
she's going to lose the ability to feel for others.
And I think that we see that shift from outward to inward
mm-hmm.
in the episode before the last episode.
Right.
When the,
right.
the, really when the big assaults happen.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
I think we got one more. We have one more point
yes.
from this
Sky.
And that's from Sky.
Gotta love Sky. You love Sky from the very first, right?
You know, and she is such a complicated character to me. Because who is she?
That's right.
You know?
We're more than halfway through the tape, so we still don't know anything about this person.
Right.
And she's always there.
Yeah. And she's like always in the background.
She's always in the background.
And
everybody knows her.
Right.
But nobody
right.
knows her.
Right.
Right.
And I think that there's some great exchanges between Sky and some of the other characters
yeah. mm-hmm.
in the coffee shop, Monet's. But at one point in this program, in this episode, Clay was talking with Sky about how angry he is.
Yeah.
And her response, she said, "Stay angry."
Right.
And I think that there's so many different ways to take that. But I took it to mean when we're angry, and using the word angry in a very loose way, when we're angry, we tend to be more likely to take action.
That's right. It motivates
us. Do something
That's
about
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's saying, stay angry.
Don't
do something about it.
Don't be apathetic. What I heard her
right.
saying was, don't be apathetic.
Right.
Care. Care about
right.
something.
Right.
You know, stay angry.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
because that was when Clay was keying Zach's car.
That's right.
And she said, you know, he just said, I'm just so angry.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, stay angry.
Right.
Because you have to do something. And so whether it's depression that you're experiencing, whether it's stress or anxiety that you're experiencing, or whether it's
mm-hmm.
just you feel like you're in a bad situation, a bad spot in life,
right.
anger can be that motivating factor that you need. And again, not angry like I'm going to go fight somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We all get angry, and anger is. Anger can be a positive emotion,
right.
for as strange as that may sound.
Now, our emotions motivate us.
Right.
Fear, anger, joy. They're the things that motivate us
mm-hmm.
to get up and
yeah.
do something. And I think that's what Sky was saying to us. Stay angry. Stay motivated.
Right.
Don't become apathetic, because it's apathy that is ruining all of us.
Yeah.
It's our apathy that's the problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stay angry would be a good t-shirt.
But you'd have to explain it if to you people.
On the back, you just have a long paragraph that
turn me around. Stay angry, but turn me around first.
This is what I mean by that. So, right. So anything? Did you have anything else in your notes
good.
About
yep,
that?
So far, so good.
Episode. So let's then jump to episode
side B.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't speak.
I can never figure the episodes, tapes, sides. This is about Ryan.
So this is
our friend Ryan.
This is episode 8. Now right. Ryan is another one of those characters that. You saw him a little bit in some previous because he was in a relationship with Tony for mm-hmm. a time, but you only saw him briefly,
right.
And you got a little bit of an indication of what
mm-hmm.
there were the indication of a little bit about what he's all about.
Right.
But here we have a whole tape about him
mm-hmm.
now.
But we begin with...
This episode begins with
so
Clay
weird.
Being so fed up
right.
that he takes the tapes and he gives them back to Tony. He says,
I'm done.
You can have it.
Right.
Take it back. I don't care what you do with it. Release mm-hmm. it to the world. Play right. it wherever you want right. to. And then he walks into the school. And I love it. Because he walks in and he's trying
right.
his best.
So hard to be happy.
He's smiling. He's laughing. He's
talking to everybody.
Talking to everybody. And everybody's looking at him like,
what
this guy is crazy.
Right.
What is he doing?
Right.
And he said, hey, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on? And they're looking at him like, hey, Clay, what's going on? And it's, right. you know, I think that this is a great example of something that we try to talk about in therapy sometimes.
Right.
You know? Fake it till you make it.
If you act happy, you'll be happy. You
right.
know? But it just doesn't work for poor Clay.
It doesn't.
I mean, you can see him struggling so hard to be happy.
He tries.
It just doesn't
and
work.
And so, you know, what we want to try to do, of course, mm-hmm. is you do want to... Your behaviors do follow your... mood, and your mood follows your behavior.
Right.
So there is this relationship between mood and behavior.
There's a reciprocity between those two.
But that's not going to solve all the problems.
No. Just acting happy
right.
isn't going to take care of things.
Right. You still have to get to the root of things. And right. that's why people who, you know, when you're in therapy, we talk about, you know, hey, just find a way, you know, find mm-hmm. something that lifts your mood, find something that makes you feel, just walk and smile, just do some of these
right.
things, because those are sort of behaviors that we're going to associate with feeling mm-hmm. better, and so it's going to help. But you still have to come to therapy, you still have to come and work on what the root of the problem is.
That's right. The problems that these kids were experiencing, especially Clay, he's certainly
right.
the most tortured of the group.
Right, right.
Were deeper than fake it till you make it.
Right.
These were deeper problems than put on a happy face.
Right.
We're able to solve.
Right.
He needed to get to that deeper level.
Right.
And he couldn't just act happy. Acting happy didn't solve the problem. Because the problem was bigger than that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this was a situation,
mm-hmm.
in a situation that we often find ourselves in, where we don't have any control over the problem.
That's right.
We don't have any control
right.
over what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're depressed because I just don't know what to decide about what I'm going to do with my career.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what classes I'm going to take. You know, that's a problem. That's our problem.
Right.
He's dealing with something
that
involves a lot of other people,
right.
a lot of other scenarios
that he can't control.
That he has no control
right.
over.
That's right.
And so there are some limits to what fake it until you make it
right.
can resolve.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a fix all.
Right. Right.
right. So and we talked about that a little bit with when we did our sessions on metacognitive therapy.
Right. That's right.
Because in some of those ways, cognitive behavioral therapy just doesn't work.
Right.
It's just not going to be very effective.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of pop psychology.
Yeah. Just be happy. You know,
yeah.
like. You know, no.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't be happy because there's a problem. There's a larger problem that you have
right.
to solve. Right.
Yeah. It just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't work.
And
out.
And kids will talk. Well, I can tell myself that, but it's not going to change anything.
Right, right.
And they're right.
Right. And then they say, you know, they say things like, then I just get mad that I'm trying to be happy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then it's like, okay, well, now
I'm really angry.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, but we saw a great example of that. And when the,
it was funny when he was bopping through the halls.
Right. And then when he's at the locker and it starts playing over the loudspeaker and it just kind of snaps him out of it. And of course it really wasn't playing over the loudspeaker, but he was imagining that happening, that was sort of the realization that, okay, this isn't going to work.
This is not
because this is out of my control.
Right.
I don't have any ability to control this stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
All right. So let's pull this slide back up.
Okay.
And the next big thing. Okay. This is that example that I was talking about. So
that's right.
Zach says, if one thing had gone differently along the line, maybe none of this would have happened.
That's right.
That is one of the most insightful things that has been said in this entire series so far.
Mm-hmm.
Because what Zach is, of course, saying is that it's chaos theory. And we started the whole program with chaos theory.
That's right. If one person or one event or one occurrence, one incident had gone differently, this whole thing may have turned out well.
If one person had been nicer to another person or, you know, just one little change.
Right.
And so when we think about, you know, we make statements like, you know, just be that one person, you know, just smile when you walk by. Again, kind of going back to that pop psychology stuff, just smile at the next person that walks down the street with you.
Right.
You have no idea what effect it will have on them.
And
that in many ways is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody smiles at you, if you smile at somebody, that could be the switch that somebody needs to completely change their day.
Right. Just
and changing their day a little bit may change, you know, three or four other people's day a little
bit. Just acknowledging them.
Right.
Who they are, that they're alive, you know, that they're just the acknowledgement.
Yeah. It doesn't take much.
Mm-mm. No.
And the other thing that I like about this statement from Zach is that he's recognizing his role in it.
Right.
He's recognizing, in a way, he's recognizing Hannah's role in it.
That's
she—that's
what he's talking about.
Right.
You know, it would have been different for her.
Right.
Right.
Because he knows that it had Hannah not pushed him away, had she not responded to him the way she did in the previous episode, a lot of things would have been different for both of them.
Right.
Well, I guess for all of them, really. So. You never know what little thing is going to make a difference. And we can't ignore the fact that that's both ways, both directions. You know, you don't know if making one little statement could make things better for somebody or making one little statement could make things worse for somebody.
Yeah.
And that puts a lot of pressure on you.
I've heard people say, well, you know, they get invited to go somewhere and to a party or to a gathering of some sort. And they'll say, oh, she really doesn't care that much about me. She doesn't care if I come or not. It might make all the difference in the world that you're there.
Right.
And you're thinking that you're not important.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps your presence could be a determining factor in this person's day.
Right.
Or week or celebration.
Right.
You know?
And we're not certainly not saying that, you know, you shouldn't, you know, share how you feel with somebody. If somebody upsets you or somebody does something wrong, that you shouldn't say, clear the air and address those issues. Absolutely. You have to do that.
Right.
But thinking too on the idea that when you have conflict, when you have confrontations and when you have problems, it is best to confront those and address those and resolve those. You can't just ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you know, you can't just say, assume, well, she doesn't really care about me anyway, so I'm not going to go to the party.
Yeah,
when being at the party may be, you being at the party may be something important to her, but you just made an assumption, and you don't want to do that, because when you make assumptions, you...
Always err in favor of the other.
Right.
That's what I tell my kids.
Right.
You know, no, you go. You go, you know, I know you don't want to go to the funeral, but you go.
Right.
Because your presence could mean it could mean something.
Right, right. Right. So it's just one little thing.
Mm-hmm.
One person, one thing, one statement, one smile
right.
could make a difference. So,
mm-hmm. And then, continuing along the same path, good old right. Mr. Border.
Well, there's something really challenging with this.
Challenging?
Is that
with Mr. Porter?
Yeah.
He didn't take any of our classes, I can tell
he
you.
He didn't. Not especially not in delivery, because you got to deliver.
Well, he goes into professional his profession. You know, it's
right.
like I'm the guidance counselor. This is all that I do. You know, I'm here to,
right.
to accomplish this,
yeah.
and so he knew that Hannah was. He knew that Hannah was being bullied.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew that it was going on. He knew something was going on.
He did. And then, you know, and she's there talking to him, and he's talking about her grades, and her grades are dropping. And then she's like, yeah, I'd like to go to college. And it's like, well, that's pretty unrealistic.
Right.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, just,
you know,
squeeze a little more air out of this sail.
Exactly.
Right? You know.
And you could see, because this happens again later
yeah.
With Tyler, I think.
Tyler.
Well,
it happened earlier with him.
Right,
he
right,
just
right.
walked out of the office.
Mm-hmm.
He finally just
That's
said,
right.
never mind, and walked out.
Yeah.
And you can see how ineffectual he's doing his job,
mm-hmm.
but he's ineffectual because he's not reaching them as people.
Right.
You know?
And I think that this is, and this is certainly not to put any disparaging
yeah,
beliefs
right.
on anybody in the school system, but guidance counselors oftentimes have little counseling training.
That's right.
They depending on their program, sometimes they do, but to be a guidance counselor is not really required.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you don't really have, you know, learn how to do cognitive behavioral therapy, or you don't really know, you maybe get some crisis management types of things and some, but a lot of it is just administrative.
Mm-hmm.
And many times, to be honest, guidance counselors aren't allowed to do much of
That's
that
right.
in the school
mm-hmm.
system because they have to do administrative work. They have to do, you know, maybe sometimes they're
they
in charge
have,
of admissions, and sometimes
they
they're
have been
attendance.
Turned into clerics.
Right.
Much of what they do is clerical work.
Right.
There all this paperwork that comes floating through the school about each student and about test results and test schedules, that has all fallen on why? It's fallen on the guidance counselor's shoulders.
Right.
So that they really don't have time. It's not really in their job description anymore.
Right.
And you see that here, and I don't mean to criticize Mr. Porter.
Right.
I think it's the profession
right.
that they have become. They've become clerics. They're
right.
they're not really able to do the work that most of them know how to do.
Now, the one place that I will sort of put some blame on Mr. Porter
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, he came from a school. We
That's
learned
right.
this in early. He came from a very
came
different
from,
school.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you have to recognize where your skills are and where your skills aren't. I mean, in our profession, they really emphasize the importance of practicing within your boundaries
mm-hmm.
and within the scope of your expertise.
Right.
I think that he is outside of his scope of expertise. I don't think that he, you know,
right.
he may be really good at working on with those students who were struggling with things that he, you know, he talked about kids getting
Killing,
shot
right.
and stuff like that.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think that he's really equipped to deal with some of the things that are happening in this school.
Right.
Because he minimizes it.
Right.
You know, well, hey, you're not getting shot, so
that's
who
right.
cares if these other people are picking on you?
Right.
You
not
know,
a big
I mean,
deal.
That's sort of the message that's sent.
Right.
And it's
that's
not
right.
really...
Mm-hmm.
effective or helpful to the students in any
right.
way.
Yep.
So I just don't think that he's really
he's equipped. A little out of his element
yeah.
at this school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now I do something I do like about him.
Mm-hmm.
I like his calmness.
Right.
He is pretty calm. I mean he gives you some really bad news, but he does it in a pretty calm way.
Right.
You know
right.
he's like
No,
yeah, you know, human. You know, it may just be a little bit unrealistic to think about that.
But unemotional.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's,
not really emotional.
No feeling. Yeah. Just gets my job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like It's almost like he tries to make it sound like he's being emotional, but it's not coming across.
Mm-hmm. And these kids, none of these kids have the feeling he cared. He's been in three pretty significant scenes now. Mm-hmm. One was the trial.
Right.
One was with Tyler.
Yeah.
And then this one with Hannah.
Right.
And he keeps coming up short. Yeah. They realize that he really doesn't care about them.
Yeah.
You know, that he cares about something, but it's not, he doesn't care about them as people.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And Noreen is listening, and she just said that, and that's where they have to be smart enough to refer to somebody who can take care of it.
Right, that's right.
That's when you call the school psychologist.
Somebody should have done,
That's right. Yeah. You got to call somebody in the community or something to get involved with that.
You know, call and say, look, I got a problem here. I don't know what it is, but I need help.
Yeah.
Can you come in and take a look at things with me?
Yeah.
Right. Somebody should have done that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At some point.
At some
point. But you know, they're so preoccupied.
Before the end of tape.
Else.
8.
Yeah.
7.
7.
Side 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So
now we go to the scene. Tony, this character, Tony.
Yes. And
he's sort of the...
So we have this... We have this, what did he call it, wilderness therapy?
Yes.
Where he, Tony's, that, now I remember reading that in the book, but with the characters, the way they're depicted in the show, it took me a little bit off because I wasn't expecting Tony to be a rock climber.
No.
He doesn't, and I'm sorry, but that is not a beginner's climb.
No.
That was a very steep... I've done some indoor rock climbing before, and there's no way I'm getting up that rock.
And there was a scene earlier where one of the boys, I think it was, I forget which one of the boys it was, said, Tony's going to take care of it.
Right.
And I thought, oh, this is how Tony's going to take care of it.
Oh, yeah?
Right.
Oh, so you thought about that. Because you hadn't read the book.
Right.
Yeah, so.
I said, Tony's going to shove him off, you know.
Yeah, so I didn't even think about it because I read the book, so I didn't even think about that what happened. But but you know, Tony takes him to this rock and they climb up it, and they have this sort of moment, this extended moment. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it all begins with Clay skipping school,
right?
You know, and Mr. Porter seeing him leave, I didn't put that in the slide, but that's. When Clay's mom arrives, we'll get to that in a second. But you know, with the idea of you know, getting up this rock and that whole sort of experience of you know, hey, this is we're big. Overcoming our stuff. You know, we're looking down at things, everything, all those big troubles down there look so far away and look so small. Mm-hmm. But we learned something really, really. Really important here,
right?
Because Tony asks Clay if he's ever seen a crime scene,
right?
And he says, "I'm on TV, you know." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Why have you?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh my gosh, how old were you?" And he's 17.
17.
He's like, "Well, when last year, suicide." And Clay finally puts it together. that Tony went to, and we learn how Tony comes to be the tape master.
Right.
He's the one in charge of the tapes. And
that's where he got the tapes because he was in her home.
Well, she dropped them off for him and he's, you know, and then Tony, you know, sort of that same, it kind of goes back to that same message from last episode where he says, you know, if I had just gone out there when I saw her at the door, but you know, I thought that she, you know, what is she here to complain about now or what's, you know, he was kind of minimizing it a little bit and you know, he let her leave and he goes out and he sees the tape. And he looks at it and he's like, oh my gosh. And he goes to her house and he is there while the ambulance is taking her out. And his description of the body bag and everything, it was just so heartbreaking. And, you know, I think that that was such a moving part of the program because you see why this is important to Tony.
Right.
You know, you don't know. He just seems like a jerk. At times throughout, no, you got to do it. You got to listen to it. That's what she wanted. And he's like, okay, well, you know, man, he's really taking this. Now we know why.
Right.
Now we know why he's invested.
Why he is so invested in this.
Right. And so, you know, he has this mission that he has to accomplish. And so we really learned that here in this episode, which was great because he feels responsible much as some of the other people that are actually on the team.
He was closest to it.
Yeah.
You know.
And so now it becomes so important. Now we know why he talks to her mom and why all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So now the last few points that we have here, well, the next two points, the last one is a beautiful. I love it so much because Clay's dad is really my favorite person. But we'll get to that.
Okay. We got to talk about Ryan.
We got to talk about Ryan.
He's such a.
So they convince Hannah to get into this poetry group at the library, and she reads this very intimate, personal poem that everybody loves, and Ryan tries to convince her to allow him to publish it in his little newspaper thingy, and she says no.
She declines.
She is adamant that she doesn't want it.
Right.
And he takes it and does it anyways. Mm-hmm. And so she arrives at school the next day, and everybody is reading it. And these two lines from him just make you want to punch him in the face.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew we were going to get to punch him in the face.
I don't want listeners to know that I say that a lot.
Just you, I know what's best for you.
Right.
Is what just galls me. I know what's best for you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what you think. And here again, we have her former relationship that gets torn apart again.
Yeah.
You know, once again, open that same wound again.
That
in these most intimate ways.
Right. And she says, I did you a favor, Hannah. One day you'll look back on this and see I was right. That is the point where I would have, you know, I'm going to punch him in the face. Because, that is so...
you don't know what's best for
you. You don't.
Please.
Mm-mm. And it just...
Especially when I ask you, you know, when I say, point blank, don't.
Right.
And you do it anyway because you think you know what's best for me.
Right. And he just...
Boy, the anger that you feel. I mean, you get just so angry with
it. Yeah, all of that sympathy I had for Zach
last
episode turns to just... anger and frustration for Clay, or not for Clay,
You keep thinking, well, Hannah has finally met a soulmate, you know?
Right?
And here again,
somebody who's emotive and somebody who feels,
who understands, and allows her to express herself.
Yeah,
I think, oh, okay, maybe this is it. Of course not.
No,
it has to end badly, as they all do.
Yeah. So that, oh man, it just made me so mad when he did that, because that was such an intimate. It was a beautiful poem,
and that wasn't and that wasn't just being heartless, careless.
Right.
That was almost predatory. I mean, that was bad. That was so.
Well, it's, you know, I think that he truly felt that she would appreciate it, but it's such a lack of insight,
right,
and an inability to see what someone else is feeling, or to understand what somebody else is feeling. I don't think he was intending to hurt her. Not that any of these people really were intending to hurt anybody, but he just thought
he missed it completely.
And then she's hearing people read this and hearing people comment about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whoever did, I don't know who wrote it, but whoever did, you know, she's this or she's that.
Right.
It's like, so she now, Hannah's feeling more and more isolated.
Right.
More and more separated from everybody else, because now they all can talk about this.
Right.
She's not going to talk about it.
And she can be Clay. And she can be angry with Ryan, but you can see her starting to turn some of this anger on herself.
Right. Yeah, she's pulling away
now. You can begin to see it.
Yeah, starting to happen. So.
Right.
Now, the last.
The last
line.
Oh, yes. From
this episode, of course, this is, it has come from
Clay's dad. Right?
I love it. So Clay skips school. Clay's mom finds out in a very poor way from Mr. Porter, because she's confronting him about something, and he's like, "Do you know where Clay is? Do you know where your son is right now?"
Mm-hmm.
In a calm yet passive aggressive, you know, I'm gonna say it again. In a I want to punch you in the face type of way. He's like, do you know where your son is right now?
She's in there quizzing. She's in there, I almost said interrogating him. Like, she's questioning him mm-hmm. about, as in her role as the attorney.
Right. And she's like, I assume that
so out of the blue, he says,
yeah.
Do you know where your son is right now? And I thought, wow.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Compassion.
And it's just to get him off the hot seat.
Right.
And so she says, I assume that he's in class. And he says, well, he skipped school and he hasn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so she starts freaking out.
Right.
Her first thought. She's going around the house and she's looking mm-hmm. for him everywhere. And she, and you know, of course, dad comes home and she's right. freaking out. And she's like, I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he is. He's gone. And he's like, you know, he's trying, but you can see he gets a little.
Now he's a little bit concerned.
A little bit concerned.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I just love it because yeah. before Clay walks in, they're standing there and they're talking and she goes, I'm on board. Like, we're together. We're mm-hmm. together on this. And Clay walks in and looks at him and they just stand there and Clay's like, I know. I'm so sorry. Da 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 da. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably grounded forever. And dad just walks over and hugs him and says, no grounding. We're just glad you're alive.
Right.
That was it. That was...
Clay's dad is a model
mm-hmm.
father.
Yeah.
He always does the right thing or yeah. says the right thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. He struggles. He has a difficult time with it. It's mm-hmm. hard for him. And you can see yep. some of the internal... turmoil mm-hmm. he's going through
right.
dealing with this as he's talking to
right.
the mom and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to his interactions with Clay, he mm-hmm. keeps making the right decision.
Right.
I think.
That's right.
Yep. I totally dig that. That is so, it's so awesome mm-hmm. to see because when you can have that type of relationship with your kid, that's exactly mm-hmm. how it can be. Clay doesn't hide from them.
No.
I mean, mm-hmm. if we look at what has been happening over the past mm-hmm. 7 episodes, 8 episodes, Clay has his secrets.
Right.
Clay has what he's going through.
Mm-hmm.
But Clay doesn't hide from responsibility.
That's right.
He doesn't shy away from punishment or consequences.
Right.
He takes responsibility for what he mm-hmm. has, what he does, and what he doesn't do.
Right.
And he talks to his parents right. about it. And his parents don't push.
That's right.
They don't pressure. Mm-hmm. They don't come down on him in any horrible way.
Draconian ways.
To make him, right. bend him into submission.
That's right.
He just does it because that's how their relationship is.
I have a little piece that I'm going to be writing later on about if you're going to punish your children, if that's important to you.
Right.
Your children need to be absolutely certain that you love them.
Yeah.
We see so many children who come in and say, I think my parents hate me.
Right.
And they mean it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not saying it jokingly. They're saying, yeah. I think my parents... Other children will come in here and say, I deserved it. You know, my parents told me not to do
yeah.
it. And so mm-hmm. I deserve the consequences. And underneath it all is, I know my parents care about me.
Right.
I made a mistake. Other kids, other children come yeah. in here and say, I think my parents hate me.
Yeah.
You know. So make sure your children know that you really, really love them.
Right.
Clay knows that these two really yeah. care about him.
Yeah.
So when they give him consequences,
yeah.
or in this case, volunteer for consequences,
mm-hmm.
He knows that it's justified and they're doing it. They're doing it for his own good.
And the other subtle thing that could be lost there that I hope isn't lost, but we're going to make sure isn't lost, is the fact that there wasn't a punishment.
No. There doesn't have to be.
There didn't have to be a punishment because the parents know that Clay understands where they're coming from and the problem with what he did.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They don't have to punish.
And as we always say here, you don't punish the offense. I mean, yes, he did something that he wasn't supposed to do.
Right.
And so he broke rule number 6.
Right.
You don't have to punish everybody for
right.
breaking a rule.
Right.
You think about the person. Where is that person? What are his circumstances? And then you consider the consequences. And when they did that,
mm-hmm.
because they know this kid is struggling.
Yeah.
And you don't keep poking and pushing
right.
and punishing
right.
Because they knew that another punishment could have sent this in a very bad direction.
Right.
They also knew that they didn't. They also knew that they didn't need to punish him.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So consider the person, not just the offense.
And that's really, you know, when we talk about parenting, we talk about our parenting book and everything. Mm-hmm. That is what we're talking about.
That's right.
We're talking about the fact that when you have that kind of relationship with your child, mm-hmm. you don't have to punish.
No.
You don't have... The child will come to you. They'll share with you. When things get really bad, mm-hmm. Clay says, "Mom, things are really bad. I can't tell you all the details,
right?
But things are bad."
Teenagers need to have some privacy. Mm-hmm. It is a developmentally normal that they have privacy.
I would even say developmentally necessary.
Necessary, right.
It's not even just normal. It's That's necessary. Right. They have to have it.
Right. And that was a lovely scene at the door of his bedroom.
Yeah.
Where he said, "I am..."
A couple of episodes ago.
Right, yeah. And he said, "But I can't talk about it."
Right.
You have to respect
that. And
he's
like, you can't solve the problem.
You can't solve the problem.
Yeah, you can't help.
And that's when parents... That's detachment parenting.
Right.
Parents have to step back and allow that to happen. So you've spent all your life with attachment parenting. Now it's time for detachment parenting.
Right. Now...
So, good example.
Now, notice the difference in that... from Zach's mom.
That woman.
Mm-hmm. Punch her in the face.
Wow. It's like sticking your finger in a light socket every time she appears. It's like, oh my God, it makes my hair curl when I see that. When I hear her voice and I see her, she's such a demanding.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. I can't even find the words. But you're right. Her parenting style versus Clay's parents.
Very different. Very different. Right? Yeah. So.
Yep.
All right. So, where are we now?
We are...
I love those scenes with Clay's family.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have known that we could... that it would become a parenting program.
Right.
Here is the schedule for the remaining episodes. And we don't quite have the schedule for tape 7. We have to identify what day we're going to do that on. But everything got shifted because of last week. So... today was tape 4, and then we'll do next Thursday, we'll do tape 5. So that'll be June 8th, we'll do tape 5.
June 8th, okay.
And then June 15th, we'll do tape 6.
Right.
And then probably around June 21st or 22nd, we'll be doing tape 7. We'll have that announced for next week. So we've really been enjoying these podcasts.
It sure has
excellent.
Been.
Excellent. So.
Yeah, I was able to watch this last one with my daughter. Both of my daughters
were
graduated and home, and so I was able to watch this last one with them.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to have a conversation with them while it was going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
great thing to do.
Great
with
to get their insight.
Teens, right?
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So that is it. So again, next week, tape 5, cover-ups and denials, will be next. Mm. So June 8th at 6:30 p.m.
Okay.
Anything else that you want to
No,
add?
That's it.
All right. It's
enjoyed it.
It's been a blast.
Always is.
I enjoy talking about this program. I enjoy talking about Clay's dad.
I know.
He's a good guy.
I like talking about Zach's mom. She's that woman.
We were talking in the office before we came in here, and it kind of got things revved up for
we
you
did.
A little bit.
We did. Who do I like in this? Nobody.
Nobody.
No, they're just this recurring pain.
Uh-huh.
That this child experiences, you know, this,
yeah.
whether she brings it on herself, and many teenagers have said, well, she brings it on herself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Be that
Zach
as it may.
Zach even said it in here.
Yeah, he
in
did.
In this episode.
Right. Be that as it may, there is this recurring damage.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one relationship after another. And this whole thing with Ryan was just the
right.
just
right.
The fondant on this cake was, you know, fondant. Come on. No, he was the decoration on this one. That was the final straw for me. But you have to remember that I'm watching these. We decided early on
mm-hmm.
that I wouldn't watch the whole thing.
Right.
I'm watching it a piece at a time. So these are all new impressions.
Right.
And so we tried to keep it that way. And
yeah.
I asked my girls not to tell me anything more about it.
So, right. So, you haven't watched
it. So it's a new experience.
You haven't
time.
Watched the next two episodes
right.
yet to
right.
see what happens
I will
next.
Watch. I will watch the next episode between now and next
yeah.
week.
Yeah, so I'm the one that came up with the names of the episodes for the podcast.
And I have no idea what they mean.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen them yet.
It's going to be good.
It'll be good.
the next couple are getting sad to me.
Oh. So, well, you can feel it coming.
Yeah. But you know, we're right at an hour already, and it makes me frustrated because you just mentioned something that we should talk about, but maybe we'll have to talk about it another time.
Yeah, well, it's almost my bedtime, so.
It is. Yeah. It is. But now I forgot what you said anyways.
What point I made?
I know. You said something.
Recurring?
That she brought some of it on herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we should talk about that.
And teenagers, we could do that. Well, I don't know what the next episodes are about, but we can certainly introduce that notion because I think that's going to continue happening.
Yeah.
She begins to alienate others. She starts with Zach.
Yeah.
You know, she really pushed him away hard.
Yeah.
She never really allows... She knows that Clay is interested,
right,
but he's shy,
right,
and she could have let him in,
right, you know,
but she keeps pushing these people away, and then that night at the theater where he really wanted to be with her, but mm-hmm. she went with somebody else.
Right.
And so, you know, you feel her pushing people. But yes, mm-hmm. we should discuss that.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, that's it. That's it. Thank you for sitting in. And
yeah, thanks for listening and watching.
And participating.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be back next time.
We will.
All right. So mm-hmm. until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.